This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
All right, the question, of course, today is how soon can life reopen and get back to normal? Well, you know what? It makes it a whole lot easier when great people step up to help. Welcome back to the show, the Scioli Show on Twitter at Rich Scioli and Facebook.com/Scioli Show. 855-839-1210 is our number, 855-839-1210. This is an hour of nonstop talk. I want to welcome to the program Oscar Valera. Oscar is the owner of Print and Play 3D, and I want to salute you, sir. Good morning. How are you today?
Not bad. Thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, my pleasure. First of all, tell us about your company, Print and Play 3D.
Well, company might be an overstatement. I'm a high school teacher who a few years ago acquired a 3D printer, and a few people came up to me and said, "Oh, we have some things we need printed," and it just started snowballing as they started sharing the things I printed for them. It got to a point where I'm up to about 7 printers out of my basement. I do it on after work, obviously. Teachers, we always look for to have a little bit of extra income. At first, all I wanted was to have enough gas money each month to commute to work, and the business started growing slowly and surely to the point where every year I've made a little bit more extra money for us, for me and my family. And then recently, with COVID-19 being the huge issue that it is, The printing community online has come together to share files in order to help our frontline workers. Excuse me. And because I have been, basically quarantining myself for a few weeks now, all I have is time. And if I have the means to do so, I couldn't just sit back and not do anything. So I've been trying to help out the community by printing face shields to help our boys and girls that are literally putting their lives on the line.
It's amazing work. And I saw Fox News talk to you as well. And that was great. That's when it caught my attention. You're in Jersey. And how many of these masks have you made for people?
So far, I've made a little under 400.
Wow.
But and so right now I'm cranking out about 50 to 60 a day. But once the started, I shared it to my town, their Facebook group. And I thought at first people would be like, "Oh, can we have, my niece is a nurse here at St. Peter's Hospital. Can we get 10 for their staff?" It just exploded. That was posted about 10 days ago. And then by the next day I had over 200 messages. And then one person in the group was an actual reporter for the local newspaper. She asked to interview me, and I thought it was just going to be a blurb, like on page 47. It ended up being a front page article on the local newspaper, which an online source, which then Reuters contacted me and interviewed me. And then that went global. So I started getting calls from all over the country, and then emails from, I have friends and family in Europe. And they're like, "Oh, we just saw you on Yahoo TV." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I didn't interview with Yahoo TV," but the Reuters package can be used by anyone. And it just kept spreading. So then Sunday night I get a call from Fox and Friends. And at first I thought it was a practical joke by one of my best friends. and I said, "Oh, ha ha ha, real funny, Mike." He's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And then I contacted the booking agent, and less than 12 hours later, I'm on national TV talking to Fox and Friends, which was just, it still blows my mind. And then after that, oh, forget about it. It took about 6 hours yesterday for me to get through all the messages. You can't see a message and not reply to it. My wife said, just say thank you. And that's it. I'm like, no, I have to thank people that are replying to me. I have to, these people ask for shields. I'm like, my main thing is if someone wants a shield, someone's getting a shield. I don't care if it's a grandma who says, can I have a shield so I could protect myself if I take a walk outside. If I'm giving her peace of mind, it's worth it to me. It's worth it to me. And these are all free. I'm not charging a cent for these. If I'm shipping them out, I'm only asking for shipping. And even then, I had a gentleman reach out to me, excuse me, who has a shipping company who's willing to ship for free. So Basically, everything's for free. I've had companies reach out to me and donate, asking to donate materials. One company is doing a buy one, get one. So if they told me, ask people who want to donate to you to order from us. For every roll of plastic filament that they order, we'll match that. So, and it's just, I told my wife, the last time I feel that our country is coming together like this was right after 9/11. Right after 9/11, everyone was more cognizant of their neighbors, more, willing to go the extra mile to be nice to someone, to smile. And it's just, it feels great. It feels really great to do this. On the other hand as well, like I feel mad or frustrated because I shouldn't have to be the one doing this. Like, I'm literally a one man guy who does this as a hobby, whereas, we should not have to be facing. Everyone should have enough PPE. But I am more than willing to do this. I'm willing to do my part.
I think that's great. Oscar Valera is with me. He has an Etsy shop, Print and Play 3D. And by the way, I want to mention too, I'm looking at this. You got some really cool stuff here in your Etsy store. My wife's always on Etsy, but she's always ordering stuff. You got some really cool gifts. I know, I'm sure that's probably on hold right now, but
you got
some Star Wars stuff and you got some Lord of the Rings stuff, some games and things.
It's basically it's just like a lot of hobby material that I catered to the people that reached out to me at first. I've actually gone to the conventions to network, to spread the word. And it's just, it's a community where I've actually posted to people that have orders for me. And I said to them, I sent them all an email last night. I said, I know that your shipping date, it's coming up, but I'm pushing everything back by about 2 or 3 weeks because my printers are, I'm using my printers to focus right now on helping the frontline workers. And the response has been what I expected. Everyone's like, oh, we appreciate what you're doing. Please take your time. No.
Oscar, are you still there? I don't know if I lost you.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay,
good.
That's okay. Well, listen, I salute you. Now, how can people reach out to you, Oscar Valera, if they want to help you as you do your 3D printing of these very, very important face shields, or if they need your help? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Best way will probably be my email, which is Valera, V-A-L-E-R-A, 411 at gmail.com. I can also be found on Facebook at Oscar Valera. And that's basically it.
Well, listen, God bless you, man. You're an inspiration. You really are. I can't tell you enough. This country, it works because of people like you who step up and do stuff like this. And so I salute you. We all salute you here in this massive audience down here in South Jersey and Philadelphia. So thank you for taking the time to come on, Oscar Valera. And, keep up the good work, man. Let us know if you need anything. We'd be happy to help you as well. We got a lot of people that are going to reach out to you now. So
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Okay, Oscar.
All right. You too, Rich.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right. 855-839-1210. What is a term for when you're embarrassed? Is there a face term for that, Dawn? Help me out here. You're good with the words sometimes on stuff like this, like those cliche kind of thingies. If you're embarrassed, not two-faced, but is there another term like that?
Red-faced.
Like, what is it?
Red-faced. Embarrassed.
Red-faced, like you're blushing?
Yeah, like blushing, embarrassed, red-faced. Yeah.
Interesting. I asked that question because NBC Washington tweeted out Correction, we made a misjudgment in a tweet about Governor Northam's face mask. We sincerely apologize for the error. And I would say, I want to know, is your face blushing? I wanted to ask them back on Twitter, you know. That's adorable. We actually have the moment where, so NBC Washington tweeted out yesterday that Governor Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, who you remember had that big scandal where he was putting shoe polish on his face to go be like Michael Jackson at the karaoke bars and everything. So he put on a face mask, and they tweeted that Governor Ralph Northam puts on a black face mask. They were just describing the color of the face mask, but, you know, just black face mask. So they tweeted that out, and that just everybody jumped on that tweet and just went with it. The screenshot, you know. So now they've issued the apologies. I'm sure his office was very upset. Why did you say he put on a black face mask? They go, no, we didn't. We said a black face mask. And they go, no, you said the governor wore a black face mask. No, black face mask. You see, three different words, Dawn. It's a very different, right?
Yes.
How you phrase that.
That's true. And by the way, the official thing for, I shouldn't have said red-faced, it's flushed-faced.
Flush-faced.
Yes.
Flush-faced.
So I apologize for saying red-face.
Yeah, so it's very offensive
flush
to people with a rosacea like myself. So
we have to be so careful.
He's going to be very careful. Do it in Italian. You get away with it. Now, listen, here's the deal. Ralph Northam, by the way, and for the record, he never actually put on a black face. He put on shoe polish. It wasn't a mask. He never put on a black face mask. It was black shoe polish. That's the difference, right?
So when he said that. That's from his mouth.
He said from his mouth, I did from time to time karaoke, and I would put on shoe polish on my face to sing like Michael Jackson. Would you like me to demonstrate for you right now? Remember that time with his wife? And she said,
the wife was like, ixnay with the ooh polish, eh?
Inappropriate. Don't do that. Well, we actually have, so I asked Greg to take a look at the video. I wanted him to watch it and then see the moment where Governor Shoe Polish Face puts on his face, his mask, his black face mask. All right. And Greg, you can verify now that this actually occurred, right?
Yes. So he had the, you know, he pulls out of his pocket a black face mask.
I always carry my black face mask. I never know when I'm going to be near a karaoke machine.
So for the first 5 minutes of the press conference, he was talking about the importance of wearing a face mask. And he then said he was going to do it himself, and he pulled it out of his pocket. And that's the clip that I sent to Bill, if you want to hear it.
I think we should definitely hear it. Yeah, by the way, if you're new to the show, yes, I don't do many impressions. My Ralph Northam is a combination of Foghorn Leghorn and the president in House of Cards. It's really all I can do. It's all I can give you.
It's your southern your southern accent, right?
It's my southern accent, and that's all it really is. I can't do beyond that. My range is very limited. But go ahead, Bill. Play the cut, please.
I thought I might bring you my face mask. This particular mask was designed and made by our Department of Corrections. It is comfortable.
Now that there Cuomo sells hand sanitizer, I have my prisoners make face masks for me to sell. Right now, I'm offering three for $5.99.
Wow, that's a deal.
That is a deal, I say, and they come in assorted colors, black, extra black, or light black.
I don't think there's a light black. I don't think that's an actual color.
So there he is, the governor of Virginia, who got into a blackface scandal, pulling out his face mask. Go ahead, Bill.
Was designed and made by our Department of Corrections. It is comfortable when applying it. You just want to put it over your face, covering both your nose and your behind your head. And I would also remind
you. Now, I would remind you, if I were a Republican right now, they'd kill me for this. They will be the end of my career as we know it. The irony of me putting on a black face mask. But I'm a Democrat. I'm going to get away with this. Hardy, har, har. Under this mask, I'm giving all you the finger right now. So the mask, you can confirm for us, because this is radio, is in fact the color black.
Yes. I watched the video myself. It is black.
Now, does anyone think that a governor who got into a blackface scandal where he's putting shoe polish on his face to do Michael Jackson impressions should pull out a black face mask. Does anyone think this is a good idea? Anyone?
No. I mean, there's so many different colors you could use. You know what I mean? Like,
how about white, which is the color everyone uses?
That's what I mean. Or you see the blue ones too. Like, there's light blue ones. You could use a blue one, but he went with black.
I have one with smiley faces on it.
Smiley faces,
like pastel smiley faces.
Oh, that's nice. I have a skull and crossbones on mine. Stop. Everybody messes with me.
you still have from Patrick the pirate one.
You look like you're a cast member in The Purge.
That's what I want. I don't want anyone coming near me. You know what I mean? I would like to remind you. You never know if you're going to go out somewhere that. Now somebody says the mask is green, not black. It looks pretty black to me. What about you, Greg?
What, green? No, it's black.
I don't
black.
Know where they're getting that from. Somebody's trying to defend him by saying the mask is green, not black. It looks black to me. And and Steve Guest on Twitter retweeted the tweet from NBC Washington, now deleted. In a striking moment, Governor Ralph Northam put on his own black mask. He urged every Virginian to do the same. It's amazing how people get it. This is unbelievable to me. So they said it was a misjudgment error. It's actually technically green. Does that look green to you?
I think it looks green just based on, like, the
it doesn't look green to me at all.
I'm also partially colorblind, so.
Oh, well, then you should definitely weigh in. We should get your expert colorblind analysis. Thank you, Bill. Definitely jump in. Bill, from your colorblind perspective, what color is that?
Oh, my goodness.
Gray, black, maybe a little green.
My God.
Just all the colors.
Oh, that's just fantastic. Well, I guess if you adjust the hue of your TV, you'll see it's really green. What I'd like you to do, please, is put on the feature called Not Real Color, and you'll see that it is, in fact, a green face mask.
I'm trying to Yeah, no, it's black.
It's definitely black. It's definitely black.
Dawn, we need a ruling here.
It looks black to me.
I think people just confuse, like, the lighting makes it a lighter, maybe black.
You just said you were colorblind. Why are we going to you for advice?
Seriously.
Because I'm looking right at the picture. I might as well try this. Let's see if I can improve myself.
According to our colorblind associate there, this here mask is a green. A solid green color. Yeah, Bill, if you're colorblind, why are you even trying to look at that? Isn't it going to hurt your eyes or something? I mean,
no. Like I said, it's only ironically dark colors, but it's fine.
Which it's this mask is because it's either black or very, very dark green.
I don't know why I try here.
Oh, man, it's fantastic. Now everyone can decide for themselves.
Honestly, this is a welcomed distraction. I love this. I love that we are debating what color this is. It's like the blue dress. You know, we didn't touch that topic, but in times like these, touching that topic, I think, is great. So
you never know where there's going to be a karaoke machine outbreak. So for this outbreak, I happen to have my black face mask with me.
Bill,
karaoke outbreaks are amazing, by the way.
Bill, is there a way to take a screenshot and put it out on social media?
Yeah,
there's a bunch
judge?
Of actually. Take a screenshot of the NBC 10 tweet if you want.
Yeah, the one that you retweeted, Rich. I'll take a screenshot from that.
And then we can take a side by side of the actually deciphers up. I tell you what, though, you know what happens sometimes with Ralph Northam? He'd be out to dinner in Roanoke with his wife, and all of a sudden they'd go, "It's karaoke time!" I'd have my mask, I'd pull it right out. And then, lo and behold, a pandemic. I use the same mask. If I were a Republican, they would literally kill me right now in the middle of this. After a blackface scandal, putting on a blackface mask. But I get away with this crap. It's amazing to me. I can't believe I'm still here. Nobody can believe I'm still here. This is a shocking thing to everybody. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and he's wearing a black face mask.
It's a Michael Jackson
song. 855-839-1210. By the way, you brought up The Purge, Greg, with my mask that I have The Purge look on it. This is a news report here from Crowley, Louisiana. you guys ever, the movie The Purge, Dawn, have you ever seen it?
I think years ago.
Yeah, it's not very good. And then they made a new one recently.
I think there's been a few, actually. I only saw the original one, but I think there's been like two or three.
There's been like three or four at this point. They did an election one in 2016, I think. And then I want to say another one more recently, but that's the one that sticks out to me.
The recent one, Purge, I forget, it was like Purge Origins or something. It was the backstory on the Purge or something stupid like that.
Yep.
I remember that day in the movie theater. I will never forget it. It was one of those just standout moments in my life. And I also remember, as I'm watching this, thinking, this is so bad. This movie is so bad. Van Jones was in it. And the whole movie where they're trying to blame Trump for the Purge, like this is all on Trump, you know, which I thought was hysterical. I was like, it's such a bad movie. You almost have to watch it just because it's so bad, how the Purge started, the origin story of the Purge. But there's music in the Purge, I guess, and an alarm, the sound, when the whole purpose of this is, in the future, America decides there's to get rid of crime, one night only, you can do anything you want, and you won't get arrested or charged. It's like Philadelphia every night. You're allowed to run around, do whatever you want, and nobody prosecutes you. That's the basis of the Purge. And so imagine a world where Larry Krasner is the DA of the entire country, and this is what he allows to happen. And they sign this, they sound an alarm, which is letting you know the Purge is beginning, so get your crime on. Well, they did this in this county in Louisiana to get everybody back in their homes. It did not go over well. Take a listen. Why, Greg?
No, I can't imagine that it went over well when they heard the Purge sirens go off.
No, I can't imagine that. Now, what cut number is that on my cut sheet? Aha, it is cut 13.
13. Oh, my God.
That siren, known by many from the movie The Purge, was not received well by some living in Crowley. Chris Welty spoke to the chief on his decision to sound the siren as a part of the city's curfew.
Crowley Police Chief Jimmy Broussard says he's never seen the Purge, but he knows the sound to be an old military siren. Since the alert Thursday night, the department has received mixed messages about their curfew warning to residents. Ty Abshire was caught off guard when he heard the Purge siren echoing through the streets of Crowley around 9 o'clock Thursday night.
It was just crazy. I knew they had the curfew, but nobody was expecting to hear that kind of siren.
Police Chief Jimmy Broussard says his intent was never to scare anyone.
As we examined it, we didn't want to go through with our regular sirens because we didn't want to create more havoc. And one of the officers who is military approached me and said, well, you know, Chief, there is an old military siren that was used. It was used in the movie Purge, but it's been used for many, many years. And after listening to it, I said, well, it's a more muffled tone. It, you know, wouldn't create to me as much havoc.
The department has since received more than 500 comments on Facebook questioning why they use the siren and why the curfew is being strictly enforced.
It was to remind people that this is a very serious matter. It's a very serious disease.
Could you imagine? I mean, Phil Murphy's definitely going to do this for the state of New Jersey, the Purge alarm, to get everybody back in their homes. There's no doubt about that. Does anyone doubt that?
No.
Nope.
How would they do it with a drone? Oh, across New Jersey?
It'd be like that. He'd go, New Jersey! Get in your homes, New Jersey.
Remember, we are New Jersey.
You jackasses and knuckleheads, you.
Yeah, we need to take that jackasses and knuckleheads and make that a drop, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And combine the two. We are New Jersey, you jackasses and knuckleheads. So let's get this straight now. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, has his prisoners make hand sanitizer, and Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, has his prisoners make face masks. Can we talk about that for a second as a society? all right, 855-839-1210. It's amazing to me. The good news of all this, of course, is that there's a lot of great innovation going on. There's a lot of great progress with drugs going on, including the hydroxychloroquine. I'll play a couple clips of that first. I do want to say I'm back with you today at 5 o'clock. I'm going to do the whole week again. And tune in, please, tune in. And when the president comes live, I take the briefing, so you get a little bit of both. You get the show and also your phone calls. You get to hear the president. Just a place we can all be together during this time. Give you updates and all kinds of other stuff.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
The FCC, by the way, speaking of earlier, we were discussing whether or not you can curse in Italian. The FCC rejected a request by the far-left media group known as Free Press, ironically, right, to censor President Donald Trump's press conferences. Last week, the liberal media group had filed, this is from the Federalist, had filed a petition with the FCC to constrain public access to updates on the federal response. They wanted television disclaimers to the president and media figures who possess opposing political views from Free Press. At best, the FCC wrote in a letter announcing its decision, the petition rests on a fundamental misunderstanding of the commission's limited role in regulating broadcast journalism. And at worst, the petition is a brazen attempt to pressure broadcasters to squelch their coverage of a president that Free Press dislikes and silence other commentators with whom Free Press disagrees. Given Free Press's leadership and history, it is almost certainly that. The group has previously lobbied under the Obama administration to institute net neutrality rules, later repealed by FCC Chairman Ajit Pai. By the way, I think the world of Ajit Pai. He is terrific. The progressive group's founder and board member, Robert W. McChesney, is a professed socialist who fantasizes about the destruction of the free market. Quote, in the end, there is no real answer but to remove brick by brick the capitalist system itself, rebuilding the entire society on socialist principles. We need to do whatever we can to limit capitalist propaganda, regulate it, minimize it, and perhaps even eliminate it. That's what McChesney said. The recent failed attempt to censor what McChesney describes as capitalist propaganda is based on the president's recent reference to the anti-malarial drug hydroxychloroquine, which doctors have been using to treat the novel Wuhan coronavirus. Trump noted that even if it wasn't effective, the risk was low in humans. Quote, it's been around for a long time, so we know if things don't go as planned, it's not going to kill anybody, the president said. Free Press and anti-Trumpers seized on the president's remarks to pin the death on an uninfected man who had ingested fish tank cleaner without any medical guidance at home. Despite the fact that Trump issued nowhere close to such a recommendation, Free Press charged the president with spreading deadly misinformation, which therefore justified the proposed censorship in its petition to the FCC. The Food and Drug Administration, meanwhile, has recently approved the use of hydroxychloroquine for patients infected with the Wuhan virus, and the New York Times exported that the medicine has helped to speed the recovery of sick patients. Quote, tellingly, the single concrete example provided by Free Press of alleged substantial public harm from broadcasters airing the president's remarks highlights the weakness of its argument, the FCC said. Quote, it was not reasonably foreseeable that a broadcaster's decision to air this statement would result in viewers or listeners ingesting cleaning products as a preventative measure to protect themselves from COVID-19. Well done by the FCC. But this should be a wake-up call and a warning to you. They're not the only group that's been talking about this. If you listen to a lot of pundits on the left, I believe Mika and Joe being two of them, they've also advocated, as of many on MSNBC, to have these presidential briefings taken off television. And most news channels don't even carry them anymore. And they use under their guise the idea that the president's spreading disinformation, misinformation, that could get people killed. Now, I want to ask an honest question. Can you go to the store today and buy hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malaria drug? Can you go buy it in the store? No, you can't, right? You need what now? A prescription, right, from a doctor, right? So when the president says this is an experimental drug and we're trying it out, you can't go to CVS and buy it off the shelves. You can buy fish cleaner. You can buy other things that may contain the same ingredient or a variation of the ingredient, but you can't actually get the drug itself. The drug you need to get can only be given by a doctor. So you see, the idea that he's spreading information that's going to get people killed is nonsense. You could argue that if somebody dies from a prescription that the doctor had them killed, but do we really want to go there too? Huh? I mean, in the extreme, then the pharmaceutical company got him killed. The medical establishment got him killed. I mean, we could go down this rabbit hole of craziness, of course, but I think the better way to look at it would be this. Donald Trump right now doesn't have an opponent. He's running against the coronavirus, as I said to you yesterday. So what they want to do is silence him because, you know what? He's doing a pretty good job up there. I have said to him, and I wrote him a note last week. He wrote me a note back, by the way, a very nice note. What he does is when you write the president, it's funny, when you write him a note, he prints off the email and writes in his handwriting in black marker. This is what he's always done. And then signs his name on it. And then they scan it and send it back to you. And they print out and mail a hard copy. But that's always been the way he's done it ever since the day one. That's what Trump does. You send him a note via email, he writes on it. Or if you write him a letter, he writes on it too and just kind of sends it back to you. It's pretty amazing how he operates like that. But anyway, I said to him, I said, these nightly briefings are very much our fireside chats. You know, you bring on these experts, you're trying to get the nation through it, you give them information, and you're also, you know, trying to keep people positive and uplifted. I think they're very helpful. But it's a lot of airtime, you know, and Joe Biden's in his basement fighting for oxygen, fighting to get on any show that will have him. The 2 p.m. MSNBC show in the middle of the day. So I think what's really happening is twofold. I think, number one, there's an effort to try to block his briefings because that's him looking very presidential up there, surrounded by the experts. And he's being nice to people, and he's talking about how, you know, he's trying to help the governors and trying to help the states. He did last night talking about how he's trying to make sure the states are happy. The states are happy, getting what the states need. We're here to help them. I want to help. Talked about what a nice guy Bill de Blasio was, how he and Bill de Blasio are having great conversations. That doesn't exactly go with the narrative of who he is, right? He's very good in these situations. I prefer that he keep to situations like this, from my perspective anyway, on his communication style. I think it works very well for him. So they want to shut that down, number one. But number two, you know, for people that advocate socialism, and this is a historical truth, one of the components that goes along with socialism or communism, whether it's China, Cuba, whether it's Che Guevara or it's Pol Pot or it's Mao or it's Stalin or Lenin or President Xi, censorship. Censorship, censorship, censorship in every single circumstance. Now, if you're one of the people today that's cheering on this group by going, you know what? Yes, yes, because he's going to get people killed by pushing out these experimental drug treatments. If that's the little excuse you want to harp on. Remember that in China, if you went out there and you started talking to people about this strange new SARS-like virus that started coming out in Wuhan, they censored you because they didn't want you to cause panic. You know, if you were the journalist that were the whistleblowers in China who started warning everybody about this very, very strange new virus that's coming around, and you know, then you disappeared. You disappeared. So when we give the government the power to say, in order to keep people safe, we're going to censor, then you have you've gone down a very, very dark road here, because then it's up to the interpretation of the government. Well, you know, we think anybody having a conversation about climate change that isn't the way we view it to be is dangerous and putting out what could get people killed. Therefore, we're going to censor that. I mean, that's probably the first thing that they would do if they were in power. So I remind you, when these groups try to talk about censorship and they under the guise of saving lives, that's always what they do. China did the same thing with the Wuhan virus. We have to censor these journalists, these scientists, these doctors to save lives because we don't want to cause a panic, an unnecessary panic. There you go. But speaking of the hydroxychloroquine debate, this is, again, the president. The governor of New York talking about how the president has been helping New York and getting more of the experimental drug because it appears to be working. Cut three.
There has been anecdotal evidence that it is promising. That's why we're going ahead. Doctors have to prescribe it. There are some people who have pre-existing conditions where it doesn't work, or they're taking medication that's not consistent with this treatment. But anecdotally, it's been positive. We'll have a full test once they have a large enough sample and data set, Jesse, but anecdotally, it's been positive. And if we get an additional supply, we can, which the federal government says they're going to send, I'm going to mention it to the president, actually, when I call him this afternoon with the comfort. I'm going to make a note right now. If they increase the supply, we can lift the 14-day limit ban.
Now, the idea of this, of course, of the governors being happy about this, there are some governors that are trying to ban it, which is insane. On Morning Joe, the tinfoil hats, the two of them with their tinfoil hats, his and hers hat. Did their hats say, like, I'm with stupid on it? Like, do we know?
Stop.
Where are they doing the show? Hang on. Let me change to MSNBC. Hang on. MSNBC. Where are they doing their little show? Are they in their Florida compound?
Well, they have the picture of DC in the background, I think, but I think they're both at home.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, because you can put any background behind you want to.
But remember, they were criticized because people accused them. They were actually in Florida, but they accused them of trying to make it look like one of them was in D.C. or something like that. So
they're married. Are they not together during this pandemic or what? Because I see separate shots of them.
No, they are. They're probably they're literally probably in the same room. They're just on two different screens.
Why?
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't they be on the same screen? Are they social distancing? They're married.
I don't know why they, like, I think the producers think it's a better shot to have them in two separate shots.
Oh, okay.
That's my guess.
Instead of a two shot. They're just trying to look like other news places where the people didn't hook up, you know, where the team.
Oh, where they didn't have
they were married to other people and then they like.
The torrid love affair.
Hooked up, yeah.
Well, this is them promoting the tinfoil hat crowd of Joe and Mika on Split Screen. Cut five.
He continued to push an unproven drug whose efficacy on this pandemic is still unknown. And last night, the president attacked a governor. He pushed an unproven drug. If you think about the amount of time that he gives, even before the questioning, to an unproven drug, we're in a crisis, and he's continuing for what, the third week now, to push an unproven drug. So why is MSNBC, why is CNN, why is Fox, why is any network running these press conferences where he keeps talking about an unproven drug that might work for malaria, might work for lupus, doesn't work for this?
Dr. Fauci wasn't allowed to talk about what he feels is important to say about this drug that the president keeps pushing. A lot of people would say, follow the money. There's got to be some sort of financial tie to someone somewhere that has the president pushing this repeatedly.
And so all these governors like Cuomo are using it to help Trump get rich. Mika, it's unproven drug. You heard Joe say it 17 times in that clip.
It's a big accusation she's making, right?
Yeah, Trump's trying to get money. So he's like, hey, LoveGov, can you do me a favor? Can you get lots and lots of this drug for your people? I got to wet my beak. I mean, what is the... I'm trying to understand how that works exactly. That he's making the... Maybe he's like Walter White, making the hydroxychloroquine in his basement.
In the basement of the White House?
Yeah, the old Eisenhower bowling alley. They take out the bowling alley and they're cooking down there. You go down there, he's got his, like Jared Kushner's actually like Jesse Pinkman. You know what I mean? He's down there making this whole thing. Oh man, that's the only one, by the way, on The View, they came up with the same nutty theory. This is Sunny Hostin, a lawyer. She's a lawyer, by the way. Another one here with the idea that the president's making money off this. Cut one.
I want to know, why is the president so convinced that this is the medication that needs to be stockpiled? What is in it for him? And let's face it, there's always something in it for this president when he wants to tout something. And so I'm very uncomfortable with this newfound love of hydroxychloroquine. I just don't understand it. Especially when the experts are saying that it's not even really approved for treatment.
That's why I love me some Tommy Lee.
That's why I love me some Tommy Lee. What the hell was that?
they were discussing I don't know if it was a tweet or an Instagram post that Tommy Lee did.
That's why I love this. Me some Tommy, yeah. Like Tommy Lee Jones or?
No, Tommy Lee, the drummer from.
Oh, that Tommy Lee, as in Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago, but yes.
I love me some Tommy Lee.
He's in this area now. Sometimes.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, bring him on so we can. I love no, me I some know, Tommy I Lee. Only if Dawn says it, though, after he comes on the interview.
Yeah. That's why I want to get me some Tommy Lee. She's a hoot.
So listen, I got to move this hydroxychloroquine one way or the other. Jared. Take over the New Mexico territory. Make the governor there use it on all the patients, okay? We'll have it on the ship. It'll be beautiful. So basically, Trump's a drug dealer. Is that what they're suggesting right now? Or I'm trying to understand this. That's great. He's cooking hydroxychloroquine in the basement.
Tommy Lee put out a letter to the president on Twitter that starts with, "Dear effing lunatic."
That's always a good way to get the president to take you seriously.
Yeah.
How to win friends and influence people. That's the first principle. Yes.
Boy, this is a strongly worded letter.
That's why I love me some Tommy Lee.
You are now this is a time that I wish we were on. This was an uncensored podcast.
Well, we can always do the uncensored version. It's the only show uncensored. We can always do it.
He calls him a fried D sandwich.
Wow.
Fill in the blank with the D.
Donkey. Well, I would definitely take his thoughts on medication very seriously, since he clearly needs to be on some.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's taking more drugs. I mean, I'm not saying anything out of school. He's taking more drugs than anyone known in mankind, right? Other than Keith Richards.
He knows drugs.
Didn't Tommy Lee and Pamela, didn't they have hepatitis at some point?
Yeah, they from sharing needles, not heroin needles, but needles for to do tattoos.
Oh, okay.
But yes, they both had hepatitis.
So if anyone knows drugs, it's Tommy Lee. So that's why he's the authority here to send a letter to the president.
Yes, and apparently Whoopi Goldberg quoted him on The View.
Ari on Twitter suggests the show could be called Breaking Orange Man Bad. I like that. You know, so I told you how the president, what he does is he'll take a letter and he'll just write on it and send it back. I would love to see what he writes on Tommy Lee's letter and sends it back to him. Oh, man. 855-839-1210. All right. Listen, if you are in an accident, you need an attorney who's going to fight for you. And I want to recommend my buddy, Tom Skopinich, the law offices of Thomas G. Skopinich, scopelawyer.com. You need a lawyer who's going to fight for you, because insurance companies, they're big businesses and they have their own backs in mind. But you need somebody who's going to watch your back. He's got an office located in Lansdale, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. He's been serving our entire region for years. And right now, you can call him on the phone, go over your case, get everything ready for when the courts are back at full steam. This is the perfect time now to start working on your case. 215-624-2211. 215-624-2211. He's licensed in PA and New Jersey, and he's a proud supporter of our USO Radiothon, which we had a month ago, which seems like 10 years ago. And he's a great friend of the show, too. And he and I are text all the time. He's also a big superhero buff, by the way. You'll find out when you call him. So reach out to him. He's a great attorney. And he used to work for and on behalf of the insurance companies. So he brings that insider expertise to your case. You're going up against the insurance companies. Isn't it nice to know that your attorney is going to be the guy who understands their playbook because he helped them write it? Yes. ScopeLawyer.com. ScopeLawyer.com. 215-624-2211. Okay, let's say good morning to Dawn and check in on this fine, fine Tuesday.
Hey, you there? There I am. Got my mic on. Good morning. Good morning. It's Dawn. We have
cooking some hydroxychloroquine again.
That's right. I was running down to the basement, you know, to check it out.
By the way, I have a question from Chuck on Twitter. Greg, were Tommy Lee's drugs approved for off-label prescriptions? He'd like to know that.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Definitely
okay. Sorry,
not.
Dawn. Yes, good morning.
So good morning. We have 49 degrees and Zioli Show News brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. So some signs of hope with the FDA giving the green light to a company in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, making world news because it's beginning testing its vaccine for COVID-19. This is Inovio Pharmaceuticals, and they call their new vaccine INO-4800. So the vaccine based on the DNA of the coronavirus, but it's not a live virus. It's not the actual virus. So this is interesting and innovative. So 40 adult volunteers have been chosen to get two doses of the vaccine 1 month apart. Those first results we're expecting by early summer. That's the great news. And testing will be done at the University of Pennsylvania and in Kansas City. So a lot of hope there by this company, Inovio Pharmaceuticals. Chester County is going to begin COVID-19 antibody testing for essential service individuals. So Chester County will be the first in Pennsylvania to undertake this test. So it's a pinprick blood test determining the presence of antibodies. So, you know, we're hearing all kinds of people saying, gee, I wonder if I had this. So in any event, they're looking at the antibodies. It's really going to help the county. And if this works, address, you know, the country, address workforce prioritization with patient care, staff shortages, crisis care management, that sort of thing. So it's two different innovative companies across our area, really local, that are making these big headlines today.
And the innovation is amazing.
It is. It's wonderful.
Everywhere we turn, I love it. It gives me such hope.
And initially they said, this is going to be years, and everything got fast-tracked, and that's what's exciting about it. So nothing approved yet or proven, but a lot of hope here. This is news that you can use, or at least that Zioli can use. This is the Walt Disney Company launching DisneyMagicMoments.com. DisneyMagicMoments.com. It's a home for some of the best Disney content, stories and resources for free for kids, so families to fill some time. So Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars, as well as Walt Disney Animation Studios, National Geographic, Disney Parks, and beyond. So Disney announcing this today.
Very nice.
Could be helpful.
We have more thing to keep them entertained. Yesterday I bought walkie-talkies for them, and we were running around playing walkie-talkies looking for zombies, and it was great. It was so much fun.
I love it.
Zombies and bears. And Patrick comes on the walkie-talkie. He's like, Dad, there are three bears in our shed. All right, buddy. And I got a little pink one for Claire. So we all ran around with our walkie-talkies yesterday. It was fun.
And we have a follow-up with Tiger King, because we've talked about the huge explosion of viewership for this documentary on Tiger King star Joe Exotic. So he's now participating in a series coming to Investigation Discovery. So that's a little Tiger King follow-up. It's going to take a deeper dive into the crime world of him and exploring the disappearance of Jack Lewis, the first husband of Joe Exotic's nemesis, Carol Baskin. So that's coming out.
Have you seen it yet, Tiger King? Have you watched it?
Yes, I didn't know the language. So, you know, I'm like, you guys, we have to watch Tiger King. So we sit down, you know, with the boys and... The language, it's not really.
Language.
Language. Boys, language. There's murder and death, but language.
No, that's just it. It's so
Your kids
true.
Are 30 years old.
Boys, get your kids in the room. We got to have a conversation about language.
I just want to warn people. Like, it was like, ooh, some language there. All right. So from
language. Thank you for that. Yeah. Who would have thought a show about a crazy Tiger King guy, a murder and assassination for hire plots would have bad words in it? Who would have ever thought of that, right?
Oh my God.
Amazing.
The mullet should have given me the first clue.
The mullet is always the first clue.
So speaking of tigers, so Philadelphia zookeepers are taking precautions, they say, after seven big cats tested positive for COVID-19 in the Bronx, at the Bronx Zoo. So this is a follow-up because we told you about the tigers and lions at the Bronx Zoo, and apparently they caught it from a zookeeper who was not showing any symptoms. So now Philadelphia Zoo officials say they're being very careful handling day-to-day. They're obviously closed. They don't have visitors, but they're worrying about, you know, just making sure they, too, keep social distancing from the tigers. Interestingly, though, I thought it was interesting that they said that they were initially more worried about their bats and they're primates. So they had, so now they've added the big cats. So because this was a bat, you know, born disease in China, we talked about the bat scientists. So in any event.
Yeah, well, the bats are, you know, and like I said earlier, you know, our slogan on this show is stop eating freaking bats, which I think works well. So,
yes. By the way, PETA has talked about this, that this is good for PETA, that we're talking about not eating bats and animals and that sort of thing. But PETA has been very upset that celebrities and other people are dressing up like Joe Exotic. So they're saying, please don't do that.
Wait, who's Joe Exotic again?
He's the Tiger King.
Right. Okay, so they're dressing up like him?
Yeah, so they're dressing up like him with the loud, like, sequin tiger print shirts and stuff like that, I guess.
You know what? Here's the thing. I was thinking about this too. Pete is very happy about the new Beyond Bat that they have in Beyond Bat now with less SARS virus. So they're very happy about that. But Beyond Pangolin?
Yes.
Beyond Pangolin is amazing. You tried it?
It's a sin. No, amazing. I haven't tried that one.
Delicious.
But only pita would make it. I don't know about them or something. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. They're trying to take a different bend here. So this day in history, April 7th, 1933, beer became available in the U.S. again. So maybe we can relate to some of this prohibition with the pandemic, right?
Yeah, that's when they started putting in wacky rules. Like if you bought it out of state in Pennsylvania, you'd still be considered a bootlegger.
Isn't that crazy?
Those laws are still in the books today. So, in fact, a caller last night to the 5 o'clock show when I was doing that reminded me of the time we used to talk about this too. At Memorial Day and stuff. They would have checkpoints on the bridges and they would stop you if you're bringing booze in from Delaware.
So this, I know, it's crazy. So, so April 7th this day. And I should bring up that we have the biggest, brightest supermoon. You know me, I always talk about the moon. So the brightest supermoon of 2020 will be appearing in our night sky tonight, April 7th.
All right.
So it's closest to Earth, 30% brighter. It's nicknamed the Pink Moon. You're going to hear that. But it's not actually pink. It was named the Pink Moon by indigenous people.
And my mask was not really black. It was a dark green, like a forest green, I say.
And this Pink Moon and Daily Show News brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo remains open for service. They're offering complimentary service valet from anywhere within a 50-mile radius. So you can call for all the deets. Their phone number is so easy to find at CherryHillVolvoCars.com. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter. And real quick, the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. Today, it's going to be warm. 69 degrees, a 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow, 70 degrees, a 40% chance of rain. Again, not a washout for our first day of Passover tomorrow. And this NBC 10 First Alert forecast brought to you by BQ Basement Systems. Now more than ever, it's only time to make sure your home is healthy and free of mold and moisture. And make sure your basement or crawl space is healthy, too. Zero money down, same as cash, financing for 12 months. Call BQ Basement Systems today. I'm Dawn, ZillaShowNewsRadio.com.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is the number. Let me play you this cut. This is important. The president yesterday at his briefing, he talked about a number of different things. He's also going to review the issue of Captain Crozier. He was the Navy captain who was fired for sending the letter regarding the number of COVID-19 cases on his aircraft carrier. Now, the president was asked about this yesterday. I'll play you the cut. It's about 2 minutes, but it's worth hearing the whole thing. Cut number 8.
The acting secretary of the Navy told the crew of the USS Roosevelt that Captain Crozier was either, quote, too naive or too stupid to be in command. Is it appropriate for the chief officer of the Navy to be speaking this way about this captain? Is this
I haven't heard it exactly. I heard they had a statement that was made, if that were the statement. It's a strong statement. Look, the letters shouldn't have been sent. And certainly they shouldn't have been leaked. This is a military operation. I must tell you, I've heard very good things about the gentlemen, both gentlemen, by the way. I will say this about both gentlemen. And I may look into it only from the standpoint that something should be resolved, because I'm hearing good things about both people.
Look into, sir?
I may just get involved, if it's okay with
you. What do you mean?
Yeah, because you know what? You have two good people, and they're arguing. And I'm good, believe it or not, at settling arguments. I'm good at settling these arguments. So I may look into it in detail, and I'll be able to figure it out very fast. But that was a statement. It's a rough statement. But look, letters should not have been sent to many people, unclassified. That was a mistake. It's a mistake that shouldn't have been made, because it's unfair to the families of the people on the ship, because they get nervous, and it shows weakness. And there's nothing weak about us now, not anymore. We have the strongest military we've ever had, and we're not going to be showing weakness to anybody, because we have that ship is incredible, nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. And we don't want to be writing letters. We don't want to have letter-writing campaigns where the fake news finds a letter or gets a leak. We don't want that. So the letter shouldn't have been sent. With all of that said, his career prior to that was very good. So I'm going to get involved and see exactly what's going on there, because I don't want to destroy somebody for having a bad day. Okay, does that make sense?
Makes sense to me. I have a feeling, I think I know what the president's going to wind up doing in this, but we shall see. 855-839-1210. The president also talked about how he wants the country. He was asked about being open by April 30th, which is his his original idea. He didn't want to get too specific on that. You know, the guy that we're told is a dictator and a fascist and a totalitarian still does not want to have a national lockdown. And there's good reason for that. It wouldn't work, number one. But number two, it's unconstitutional. Cut number 11.
Do you think you'd be able to lift restrictions on April 30th right now?
I don't want to comment on that, but I can tell you that we certainly want to try. We certainly want to see what's going on. We're doing very well. Look, you look at those, you look at most places where that, you can call it the bump, you can call it the hill, you can call it the mountain, you can call it whatever you want to do it. It's very flat. You take a look, and that was done through mitigation. That was done through a lot of good work. And that far exceeded our expectations before. I mean, people can't even believe how low some of those bumps are, some of those hills are. They're very surprised. Now, you have a couple of tough ones. New Jersey's been very tough, and New York has been very tough. They're crowded in. You know, it's tight. It's tougher. But far exceeding. California far exceeds. Washington State far exceeds. You look at so many of these states, how well they're doing. The eight states, by the way, and I haven't spoken to the governors, but Tony's so right. They may not have it from the standpoint that they're saying it, but those people are practicing it, and they're doing a fantastic job. Take a look at where they are in terms of the levels, but take a look where they are. So, but if I thought it was something that, and I've looked at him very carefully, looked at him today, looked at him yesterday, from a constitutional standpoint, I'd love not to get involved with that. And not from a legal standpoint, just from a moral constitutional standpoint. Because legally, I can. But morally, I believe in our Constitution, much more so than most people. And I'd love to be able to let the governors do what they have to do. Those states are doing a fantastic job, all eight of them. They're doing a fantastic job. So we'll see what happens. As for your question, you fully understand what I'm saying.
Now, here's the thing, and this is important to understand, too. I applaud the president for bringing up the Constitution. I really do. I applaud him for it. I think it's important. I think it's critical. And yet, even though he's not doing what they want him to do, we still get warnings from people like Meghan McCain that the president is going to basically use this opportunity now to become the totalitarian that we all were told he was going to become. Cut 16.
So I think the point you're making, Sonny, about the press conferences, because there is an argument that's being made by some people in media that the press conferences shouldn't be being covered at all. And my argument for keeping the press conferences is I think we're at a place where President Trump, he has always been a sort of totalitarian president in a way that we've never historically seen before. And my fear is that he is going to play on the American public's fears in a draconian way and possibly do something akin to the Patriot Act going forward, where he uses this moment in time to play off our fears for his own benefit. And I think seeing front and center what him and his team, I for one, became even more fearful of what was happening when I saw how inept Jared Kushner was. So I think while he has a team of doctors like Dr. Fauci that we are all in agreement is doing a great job, my fear is that this is a moment in time that can be manipulated by our powers and by the government in place. And I want to see front and center what he's saying, no matter how ridiculous some of the press conference commentary ebbs into.
You know, I've watched pretty much all these press conferences. And I don't know what the hell she's talking about. And I don't know these totalitarian tendencies. But let's just think of a practical question for a second here. If the president wanted to use this moment to be the totalitarian that they all have been saying he's going to be, wouldn't he have done it already? And then what would have happened? Would they have all cheered him for ordering a national lockdown? Or would they have said that he's exceeding his authority and try to impeach him again? What would it have been is my question. What would have happened? See, now, if in January the president had said, there's a virus coming from China and I'm ordering a national lockdown, I'm grounding all air travel, nobody gets in or out for 2 weeks, we're gonna ride this out, they would have impeached him or maybe removed him under the 25th Amendment for being crazy. Now, for weeks we've heard, why won't he do a national lockdown? Okay, but isn't that what a totalitarian would do? Isn't that what a totalitarian would do? You take this opportunity now to test the limits of his power. What has the president done in any way, shape, or form that would make any person who's a constitutionalist say he is pushing the limits of his power? He's used a federal act approved by Congress the Defense Production Act. He's used that, which is a power that he has under that. But I mean, has he federalized the troops and sent them in? Has he shut down the bridges and the tunnels? And but that they want him to do that. He doesn't want to do that because he doesn't believe it's constitutional. He thinks from a legal perspective, he could probably get away with it. And I think he probably could in the short term. But long term, it'd be very damaging for our Constitution. And he knows that. And he doesn't want to do that. And yet we're being told that he's going to use this opportunity to become a totalitarian. Well, then freaking use it already, because it's going to be over soon by the time you use it, by the time you become a totalitarian. That's amazing to me. It's like all these people that say he's going to wait till he gets reelected to become a dictator. Dictators don't wait to get reelected. Kids, once they have power, they just keep it. 855-839-1210. That's stupid, honestly. 855-839-1210. This is the Yoli Show coming right back.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.